Hello, and welcome to another episode of Film Favorites. My name is Bryce Vales, and with me, as always, is my good friend, Aaron Chase.
You say hi to me, right?
I just said Aaron Chase.
Hi, Bryce.
Hello, Aaron. This isn't our first rodeo, Aaron.
It's not. I don't know.
You're tired. We're all so tired.
Yeah.
Well, what better way to clear up that tiredness than with a good flick?
Oh, yeah. We're in 640? 630. 640s.
What?
We're in the 640s?
500? It only goes up to 500, Aaron.
I'm losing my mind. We're in the 4...
We've done how many of these?
440s.
You got the intro wrong? We are in the 460s, Sil, so I'm sorry to say.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay.
You've been on top of this.
I'm surprised. I don't know what's happening.
And you know, the really weird thing is, It's not like it's been a long time since we've recorded one of these.
No, it has not been. I don't know which one.
We just recorded one.
You did.
Literally a couple hours ago.
Yes, moments ago.
Moments ago.
Oh,
boy. Okay, yeah. Well.
Yep.
Here we are counting down my 500 favorite movies of all time.
Every time we start this, I'm like, oh, yeah, we made this too long.
Yeah.
All right.
We did.
Six.
We are starting this episode with my number 463.
Okay.
So by the end of this...
That will be in the...
One second.
Yeah, 450s.
Yeah. As well, yeah, starting the next episode, we will officially enter the 450s.
It's exciting.
It actually is. I think that's going to be a bit of a milestone.
Yeah.
50 movies in is going to feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's kick it off with number 463. Director Alma Harrell's 2019 film.
Oh, wow.
Our first film of... I believe it's our first film from 2019.
Yeah.
Her film, Honey Boy.
Oh. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really good movie.
It's very good.
Yeah.
It was exceptionally well made. And exceptionally well acted.
I don't know why it is this low.
It is not a fun movie to watch.
That's fair.
When I first saw it, I was convinced, despite it being very good, that it was not going to be on my list. Because I came away not feeling very good. And again, this is my 500 favorite films. Not what I consider the best films of all time. There are a lot of great movies that I recognize as great movies that I've seen and will see again, I'm sure, that are not on this list because I don't like watching them. And this one just tips over into not enjoyment, but I vibe with it.
It's a vibe movie.
Yeah. Like, I, in a few depressing ways, I relate.
I relate many depressing ways.
Yeah. And so that personal touch really it elevates it for me. That's why it's snuck on the list. Otherwise, I don't think it would, because while it is very good, Shia LaBeouf is great in it, and Noah Jupe, the younger,
yeah. Well, they're both younger versions of him, but
yeah,
young kid version.
Kid version,
yeah,
is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I've seen him in a few things now, and he's always good. He was really good in this.
Both of the younger versions of Shia LaBeouf, it was eerie.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, especially older Shia LaBeouf. There was something about him that just captured the way he spoke, his cadence, everything about him. It was. Yeah, that's a movie.
It is. 2019. There were a few actors I was really hoping were going to get nominated for things. Shia LaBeouf was not my personal top pick. Like, oh, he should get nominated for Best Supporting Actor. I had a couple more that I really wanted that didn't get it. But I was hoping. He was really good in this. And what makes it interesting and unique, the film, is that it is so obviously just an act of catharsis.
Yeah.
For Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
To the point where you're even like the character Otis, fictionalized Shia LaBeouf, is in rehab, and then by the end he has started writing the film that we're watching, and it's so apparent that this was a part of his rehabilitation. The yes. film that we are watching is a product of him letting this out.
It is one of the, it's it. Requiem for a Dream is not a good comparison in terms of the type of movie it is, but for the, it just doesn't make you feel good.
No, but it doesn't make me feel as bad either as Requiem for a Dream. True. Spoiler alert: Requiem is not on my list. What did I just say, Aaron? You're giving me a face. I do not like watching that movie at all. It is good. It is very good. Yeah. I do not like it. Huh. It is not my 500 favorite movie.
Yeah, I know this. I know. I'm surprised. I think that's a I love that movie.
I don't love it. I think it's very good. I respect the hell out of it. Darren Aronofsky is a great director, but I...
We'll go down a rabbit hole if we
can. Yeah, we will. But you understand why. Films like that, they're not going to show up here.
As for Honey Boy, I'm glad it is on your list. I get why it is low on your list, and I can't watch it anyway because I've already seen it.
With me.
Ah, yeah.
We saw it in theaters.
Yeah.
Whew. Very good movie. I recommend it. Y'all, if you can handle a really kind of heavy personal character drama... Mm-hmm. Take a look at it. It's really... It's a very well-made film.
How accurate to his life was that?
Well, it's semi-fictionalized, of course, but it feels honest. So even if some of the specifics aren't accurate, the emotional core of it felt very honest.
Yeah. Yeah. 600, 500, four, fuck off.
600... Damn it, you got me going. 462.
462.
Is our next one, and... Oh boy! talk about a classic.
Okay.
Director Robert Wise's 1965 film, nominated for 10 Academy Awards, winning Best Director, Best Picture, among others, The Sound of Music.
Okay.
Okay. Have you seen The Sound of Music?
I have not seen The Sound of Music.
Oh, damn.
So I'm probably going to end up watching The Sound of Music.
You might. I mean, it's 3 hours long.
Oh, my fuck. Really?
Which is a big reason why it's this low on the list.
Yeah.
I can handle long movies. You know I can handle long movies.
I'm aware.
This is a nice musical. Mm-hmm. It's rather breezy. Doesn't need to be 3 hours long, though.
I am dreading the potential of watching this movie, and I'm very confident this is going to be the movie.
Well, we'll see. Let's talk a little bit more about it. It's based on a true story.
I don't even know. I know Nazis.
You know Nazis. I know Nazis.
Everyone knows Nazis.
We all know Nazis.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that is a rather significant part of it. It's about a nun. She comes into this household to help out with the children. It's very fictionalized. Mm-hmm. And there's some classic songs in it. Great songs. Do Re Mi.
Do Re Mi Fa So?
Well, I mean, that's just the scale, but like Do a deer, a female deer.
Oh, I've never
heard. Re, a drop of golden sun.
I think I would have to.
Me, a name I call Jesus. Myself.
Jesus Christ.
Fa, a long, long way to run.
Oh.
Okay. I won't do the whole thing.
Thank you.
I could.
I believe it.
Oh, boy. And the Sound of Music, of course, the song. It's a good movie. I had a major. Yeah. Childhood crush on Julie Andrews.
Is she an old lady?
She is a young lady in this film.
Right, she's old now, though.
Yeah, she's old now. But I major crush on Julie Andrews when I was a kid, and especially in this. She's so sweet and lovely. And Christopher Plummer is in this. Great actor. He's still acting. He's like 90 now. He was in Knives Out, which I know you saw.
Oh!
He was the old man, Harlan.
Good for him.
Yeah. Still acting, still doing good work.
So good for yeah.
And like that's the thing when you're 90 up and still acting well.
That says something.
Yeah, he plays the dad in this. He's a great actor. Julie Andrews is great. It's a very good film. It's long.
Yeah,
that's the big thing.
That's one of those classics that I've never had any desire to see because I don't mind musicals. Actually, I can enjoy a musical. When it's a weird musical. Like Sweeney Todd, I enjoy because it's like, this is insane.
I did not like the film version of Sweeney Todd. I like the stage play.
Yeah, same. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, like the film version with George Hearn?
When we watched it in Miss P's class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. Angela Lansbury.
She played the pie lady, right?
Yes, Mrs. Not Mrs. Moffat. What is it? Mrs.
But I like musicals like that because musicals are inherently a strange idea.
Mm.
And so if you're going to go strange, you might as well be really strange about it.
Well, this is sort of like part of the way that they fictionalized it is that they intentionally made it more like a fairy tale. Like, it's not super fantastical or anything, but the story and how everything sort of unfolds, it feels like a modern fairy tale. And it's super inaccurate to what actually happened, but makes for a nice story.
Yeah, I really hope I don't have to watch this movie, but can I hear what the next one is?
You can hear what the next one is, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Uh-huh.
The next one is director Sam Raimi's 1990 film, Darkman.
I don't know what that is.
I think we're going to watch Darkman, what people.
What the fuck is Darkman?
Darkman was Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
Spider-Man fame, Evil Dead.
Yeah.
He wanted to make a superhero movie. He wanted to make a Batman movie or something based on The Shadow, but he couldn't get the rights to either of those. And so he just made up his own.
That's actually pretty badass.
Yeah, and so it's inspired by comic books, and since he could just do whatever, he took a lot of inspiration from, like, the 1930s, like, old Universal monster movies.
Oh, nice.
Dracula and Frankenstein.
Is it a comedy?
I mean, there's comedic elements. It's Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
He rarely plays it super straight. I can think of one or two movies that he plays it really straight. Mostly, you know, he has fun with most of his movies. And this is one of them. It's very silly.
Okay.
So there's comedic elements in it, but it's fun. Liam Neeson's in it. He's the lead. He plays Darkman.
You're having me excited. This sounds...
Francis McDormand is in it. good cast. It's a fun sort of gothic horror superhero silly big... It's a weird movie.
This is right up my... I'm already very excited.
I'm glad you think so.
Whoa, no, why?
I like it. It's on my list, Aaron. Okay. I like it. It's silly. It's not great.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like
it. And that's why it's kind of low on the list, but it is fun. And what does it matter if it's great or not?
Yeah.
If you have a good time, and that's what Darkman provides. It's a silly, it's got some problems, but we'll talk about that after we see it. I feel like you're going to pick Darkman.
I'm 100% pick Darkman.
I didn't even bring Sound of Music.
Oh, good.
I was like, I know Aaron's going to pick Darkman.
Yeah, of course. Like, yeah, can we watch it?
Let's watch Darkman.
Okay.
You know what?
I don't even want to know anything else about it.
I'm going to leave it there.
Okay.
It's not a lot to talk about, so let's just watch it. Aaron, let's go watch director Sam Raimi's 1990 film. Darkman.
Darkman.
So, Aaron.
Yes, Bryce.
Tell me about Darkman.
Darkman is a comic book style movie, superhero origin. About a made-up super... I mean, they're all made-up.
But this one's really
made-up. Yeah, but this one's, like, super made-up. This one doesn't have Marvel or DC attached to it. So, it's about a man, a scientist, who is working on some sort of skin...
Like, synthetic skin.
Synthetic skin with basically a 3D printer.
Yeah.
A 90s 3D printer. And he gets his face exploded by a bad man.
Robert Durant.
I can't remember why.
Evil businessman was bribing city officials to get this waterfront property so that he can build basically a new city. And there were these memos that sort of could be traced back to him that would be evidence that he bribed these people. And so when Dr. Peyton Westlake or something, his girlfriend, a lawyer, finds the memos. They are like Durant, the big heavy muscle bad guy, is sent to retrieve the memo.
A lot of stuff happens.
And kill Dr. Peyton.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's why he gets his face exploded. Oh, spoiler alerts.
Yeah, spoilers.
All of that, everything I just said.
Yeah.
That's like the first 10 minutes of the movie.
What I would suggest for people, if you're watching all the episodes, here's what you do. Is take a day.
Oh.
Take a day. Watch Finding Neverland sober. And then immediately afterwards, get unreasonably high. And then watch Darkman. And you have a splendid experience. It was crazy.
I think you found it a lot crazier than I do.
It was such a stark contrast to Finding Neverland.
For context, we had just finished last episode. We did these back to back this time, and going from Finding Neverland to like immediately watching Darkman is
really jarring.
It's a bit of a left turn.
Yeah, and I eventually eased into it and I figured out what it was, and I was able to keep control of myself.
You were so confused and hysterical during the first 5 minutes.
It brought me to tears of laughter.
We had to pause it twice.
Yeah, it was really ridiculous.
Gun leg. The car that bursts out of the container out of just nowhere.
It was so fucking funny. If the whole movie had that tone, I would have been so happy.
Yeah, therein lies some of the problems with it. It starts off really strong. It's so energetic and exciting, and it is that for large chunks of the film. It is exciting and fun and interesting and creative, but there's also stretches where it is not that.
No.
It's the romantic subplot, which is fine. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's fine.
Like we said, Liam Neeson and Frances McDormand have chemistry in the film.
Yes.
Especially early on when everything's nice and going well. But yeah, it slows the film down.
Yeah.
Right when we're getting oh yeah, this is great. And then things calm down a little too much.
Yeah, I would say that it would have been perfect for what it was going for if it had just turned up the romance stuff.
Yeah, make that more
silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As silly as the action is, make everything that silly. And I get they want to hold on to an emotional core, so it's not just
nonsense.
Yeah, so you kind of care about what's going on, but you can up the romance, not to a silly level perhaps, but to a heightened level. Make it a little more pizzazzy.
Yes. But outside of that, it was great.
Oh, it's very fun. Where are some of your favorite scenes?
The stuffed animal.
The elephant, the pink elephant.
The pink elephant. I don't want to spoil it.
Give me the pink elephant.
I don't want to spoil the pink elephant. Please, if you watch... Okay, the pink elephant, the opening scene.
Opening scene is great.
Opening scene really left an impact on me.
I got 7 more reasons.
Just anytime he was freaking out, basically. Anytime insane violence was happening. Like, there was a point where they're in a helicopter and this guy has a Tommy gun bazooka mix.
It's a grenade launcher.
He has a grenade launcher that's Tommy gun style. And Darkman is hanging from the helicopter on a hook. And the guy's shooting down just at the street. And people are getting blown up.
So many explosions.
So many explosions. Cars are flipping over. And this was made in the 90s, so this is before CG took over. So it's real.
It could have been filmed in the 80s. And this 1990, this could have been filmed late 1989.
Yeah, so it everything was real. You could see real cars flipping over and exploding.
Everything was real. There was no blue screen or special effects used.
It was crazy. And he just had this.
There is plenty of blue screen and special effects.
But in a you know, not in the way that we use them now.
All right, whatever.
Anytime green screen was used, it was to make it seem not real.
Well, I mean, when Peyton's the helicopter, there's a lot of stuff where
You just have to.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, things you got to do.
But it's just wild. Like, it's so crazy and wild, and you don't get superhero movies like that. You would not be able to make that movie today.
I think a director with some clout could well, oh, like that, as in like the practical effects and like,
yeah, the
flying
effects,
two helicopters through.
You could.
No, you could. There are still movies with like those kinds of stunt work.
The style of it, it was like a really dark, gritty version of like the 60s Batman TV show.
In that it's still silly.
Yeah,
and like
silly.
There's whiz bang, but it's like
weirdly violent.
Very violent.
Yeah, yeah. Violent and grotesque.
Yeah, that makeup effect.
The makeup
effect. I really like his look when we finally see him, like that sort of quarter face thing. Yeah.
And it was less of a superhero origin and more of a, like the Punisher. What is that?
Like an anti-hero vigilante kind of a thing.
Yeah, yeah. I never got a superhero vibe from him, ever. It reminded me of Spawn.
Mm.
But I would say if you're going to watch this movie, if you really want to up the ante with it, just watch something calm.
That's a weird thing to say. Dude.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. It on its own, I highly suggest it.
Yeah.
Yes. I definitely think doing drugs enhances the experience.
I'm glad you think so.
Because it's just so strange.
I tend to prefer watching movies sober.
Yeah, I know.
So I can watch it. And
yeah, gross. No, I've been doing that throughout this. This was just like a perfect time to do drugs.
It's a big, stupid, silly, fun.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. If you enjoy campy, you have to know going in, don't take it. You know what? It tells you not to take it seriously as soon as it starts.
Yeah.
As soon as it starts, you're like, oh, whoa.
You get that crazy Sam Raimi cinematography, these big dolly moves and crane shots. And like the editing and cinematography is so energetic and fun.
It's a wild ride.
Danny Elfman's score.
That was the other thing. That really made it work.
Yeah, we were talking about this a little bit. You were saying that...
I think without that music, I don't think it would work.
I agree that without music, it wouldn't work nearly as well. But that's the case with most films, you know? You get a good score. I think other music could have been in the film and it would have worked.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
But the score was good.
The score was good.
It did its part, that's for sure. It enhanced the film. It wouldn't have been as good without
a solid
score.
It did a lot of heavy lifting.
It did something.
I would suggest it.
I would too.
Yeah.
Glad you liked it.
Good
placement.
Yeah, perfectly reasonable placement. I think if it didn't have the flaws that it had, I think it should have been higher.
There's quite a bit of cheese. There's some sluggish parts. Some of it hasn't aged super duper well, but a lot of it is just timeless, silly, fun.
Yes, I support it.
All right, Aaron. Well, thank you for watching Dark Man with me. We got a lot more movies to go.
Yes, we do. Until next time, Bryce.
Until next time, Aaron.
This has been a Buddy System presentation of Film Favorites.